Alberta officer charged with child pornography crimes, McGill and Concordia students set up encampments protesting genocide in Gaza, BC government hand Haida Nation title to all the lands of Haida Gwaii, a humanitarian aid flotilla headed for Gaza is forced to pause, and protests erupt in Argentina over cuts to education. Good morning. It's Monday, April 29th. I'm Nora, coming to you from Ottawa, Ontario. Here are your headlines. An Alberta RCMP constable has been charged with two counts of possessing, distributing, and accessing child pornography. Evan Peacock was arrested Thursday. He's been with the RCMP for 3 years and has been suspended with pay. The police began their investigation into Peacock in November of 2023 when he allegedly uploaded videos depicting child exploitation to Snapchat, but police only learned his identity late this month. The charges are related to acts committed in September, from September 17th to September 20th, 2022, and around November 8th, 2023, in the city of St. Paul, northeast of Edmonton. Peacock's next scheduled court appearance will be on May 23rd. Next to Quebec, where students at both McGill and Concordia have launched encampments to demand that their schools divest from Israeli companies and cut ties with Israeli institutions. This comes as a protest of the ongoing genocide in Gaza and in solidarity with the mass protests that have started in the United States and now are taking place across campuses all over the world. The students at McGill have stated that their encampment will go on indefinitely. On Saturday morning, McGill administration sent students a statement telling them that, quote, encampments are not permitted on our campus, unquote. On Sunday morning, students at the University of Toronto received a similar statement from that school's administration. U of T admin must think their students are more radical than they perhaps are, but I'm rooting for you, U of T folks. You can set up those encampments too. That'll be amazing. CTV News contacted McGill's administration asking whether or not tents would be removed. A spokesperson responded saying this, quote, we support the rights of our campus community to freedom of expression and freedom of assembly within the bounds of McGill's policies and the law. We also have a duty to create a respectful environment that creates the optimal conditions for carrying out our academic mission and that protects the health and safety of our community, unquote, which is a bag of bullshit because McGill, you could be doing a lot of other stuff if that was truly your mission. Now, bringing you a story from the National Observer via Hakai magazine. The BC government has handed the title of over 200 islands off the province's west coast to the Haida Nation. The agreement between the Haida Nation and the BC government was the first of its kind in Canada. It's also the first time this kind of recognition has occurred outside of the courts. The agreement won't impact private property on the islands or municipal and provincial services on Haida Gwaii. The Haida Nation is in talks with the federal government over rights to the water surrounding Haida Gwaii. Control over those waters fall under federal jurisdiction and was not included in the land agreement between the nation and BC. And now to international news. A three-ship flotilla that was meant to leave Turkey on Friday and head to Gaza has paused its journey. The flotilla was carrying 5,000 tons of aid and was going to attempt to break the Israeli siege on Gaza. Just before it was set to take off, it was stopped by Guinea-Bissau authorities. They took down their flags from two of the ships. The authorities also subjected the two ships to a surprise inspection. The Freedom Flotilla Coalition described the move as being blatantly political and stated that they would not be able to set sail without the flags. They explicitly blamed Israel for pressuring Guinea-Bissau authorities into taking this step. The flotilla was organized primarily by the Turkish Humanitarian Relief Foundation, along with several other organizations, and includes thousands of human rights activists, lawyers, doctors, and nurses from around the world. One of those nurses is one of my very good friends, Jean-Pierre Roy. And he, along with a couple others from Canada, represent the Canadian delegation. There's been news in French Canada about this delegation, primarily because most of the folks are from Quebec. There has been almost no news, though, in English Canada to just show you how easy it has been for the Canadian media, the English media, to ignore this. Here we have five, maybe six Canadians sailing alongside people from around the world hoping to do what they can to break the siege on Gaza. And radio silence from Canadian news outlets in English. I hope that changes. I know that they're trying to get this story attention, but, you know, my solidarity, of course, to those folks who are there, and I'm watching it really, really closely. The United Nations demanded that the Freedom Flotilla be granted safe passage and has called on Israel to adhere to orders of the International Court of Justice to allow unimpeded access for humanitarian aid to reach Gaza. Finally, there are mass protests happening all over Argentina due to cuts to education. Argentina has what is considered the best education system in South America. Tuition for public universities is free, and with millions of students enrolled in the schools. Recently, Javier Milei, the country's far-right president who took office in December, implemented harsh austerity measures on those universities. Students, professors, trade unions, and opposition parties took to the streets en masse to protest the austerity measures, with estimates of nearly 500,000 people protesting in the nation's capital. These measures are just the latest in a long list of other cuts Milei has made, including firing government workers, shutting down ministries, and defending cultural centers in an attempt to fix what was Argentina's suffering economy. Milei defended his actions by pointing to the fact that the government had its first quarterly fiscal surplus since 2008. In the meantime, universities say that they won't be able to function and they will be forced to shut down within a few months, which a fascist like Milei probably actually wants. Those are your headlines for Monday, April 29th. I'm Nora. As I said, I'm coming to you from Ottawa. A lot of you had questions for me over the past weekend of my experience at this thing, the Ottawa International Book and Food Expo. I'm explaining it all in tomorrow's Sandy Nora episode. So you'll have to hang tight for that if you want to hear the deep dive into what I've just gone through. It's a fascinating story. It's pretty nuts. But you know what? Live and learn. Live and learn is all I can say. You are listening to this podcast at sandynora.com on the Real News Network podcast feed and anywhere you get your podcasts. That's right, folks. This is the last week of April. It's Monday. I hope you're staring down a wonderful week. And just know that May Day is right around the corner.